This is Annette Abner, and welcome to Diaspora Talks. Diaspora Talks is a podcast connecting Africa's fastest growing businesses with the diaspora. Who are Africa's most exciting businesses? Who are the entrepreneurs behind the brands? Where are the opportunities for us to invest? I started this podcast to bridge the gap between the diaspora and Africa by telling the stories of African founders globally. You can hear these stories on Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud, and all other major podcasting platforms. Stay tuned. Hi, everyone. This is Annette Abner, and welcome to Diaspora Talks. I am today joined by a very special guest, and I say special because this is a long time coming. I'm joined by Tiffany Anderson, who is the founder of A Way to Africa. Welcome, Tiffany.
Yeah, thanks, Annette. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. So for those who don't know, A Way to Africa is a destination management company that essentially allows its clients to explore certain African countries from a cultural perspective and really from a more alternative, non-traditional route. So of course, we are all living in the middle of a pandemic. And so for many of us, travel, it has become a distant memory, or at least very challenging. So which is why I'm really excited to have this conversation with you, Tiffany, because this is a very topical subject, like I said, in the times that we're living in. So it would be really good to explore what impact the pandemic has had on your business in particular. Of course, you are operating in the travel industry in Africa, and also generally what impact it has had on the industry in general on the continent. Now, before we get into all that, I'm talking a lot and I want to hear from you. I've introduced you as the founder of A Way to Africa, but let us know a little bit more about yourself. So who is Tiffany? What's your background?
So my name is Tiffany Anderson. I am originally from Queens, New York. I was born in Queens, New York. I am of Jamaican descent, and okay. I call my home, I live in Kingston, Jamaica. But right now I'm living in Lamu, Kenya as well. My background, I'm an attorney. I practiced law, and actually I studied abroad in South Africa, and that was my introduction to the continent. Okay. I'm also a professor as well, and the founder of A Way to Africa. So yeah, that's a little bit about me, my background.
Yeah, okay, so small there, even though like this, okay, so just to backtrack, so you are an attorney, so you're a lawyer by practice and by training, but are you still practicing law and doing A Way to Africa sort of on the side, or is A Way to Africa your full-time gig?
I would say yes to both. So A Way to Africa is my full-time gig, but I still practice law. I still work on remote projects. I still practice transactional law, which is, you know, majority of the time contracts, working on business law, and sometimes entertainment law as well. Wow. So I still practice law. I still pay those bar dues. Yeah. So
yeah. But, amazing. And like you said, you are talking to me from Kenya. So it seems like you're literally living the ideal kind of remote life, you know, the young professional that can sort of work from anywhere, still, you know, practice what you've studied for, but also do something that you're incredibly passionate about, which is to do with travel in Africa.
Right. But, you know, it's funny because majority of people are like, oh, can I travel in your suitcase? Or
can I come with you?
And I'm like, it sounds amazing. Actually, it is a pretty amazing life, but it's so much work, it's years of work that goes behind, you know, building a business. Or even I'm working from my laptop the other day, and I looked up and I just laughed because I'm living on an island off the coast of Kenya, working from my laptop on a mission, a job with bringing people to the continent and vice versa, bringing those who live on a continent to travel within a continent as well. And I had to laugh and say, like, wow, you really, you know, with the grace of God, created a life outside of the norm, mm-hmm. you know, for yourself, people within your family, but also within your parents. But there are days where I'm in the airport crying, like having a breakdown from flying so much, flying alone and things of that sort, or, you know, where you just sometimes hit roadblocks when you are navigating a continent as a woman, you know, as a Black woman. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an uphill, I'm not even going to say battle, but it's the journey that I'm on. But I definitely feel as if I'm doing God's work. Yeah. And this is the reason why I was put on this earth. So having that comfort, like I'm working on my passion project, which is also beneficial for those in this world, I really feel blessed. I can honestly say that. But yeah, it's years of studying. It's not passing the bar on the first time and recommitting to make sure you pass the bar. It's working in positions and jobs where I was underpaid, but it was an area of law or a company that I really wanted to work in, and I saw the long-term benefits of it. So it's about taking your sacrifices or working, busting your ass while you're younger, going to school. School may not be for everyone, but at least try it out. Like, from a younger age, go hard. So when you're in your 30s, you can, you know, when we look at our parents, they're like, when they're in their 60s, they start enjoying and relaxing. Yeah. We can now do this in our late 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about grinding.
Yeah.
You know, when you have the opportunity to, so you can start reaping those benefits and reaping the fruit of the seeds that you plant from earlier on.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just sitting here nodding because, yeah, I'm so glad that you've touched on that. You mentioned it's a journey, and literally what I wanted to really do was explore your journey. And I'm glad that you sort of highlighted the sort of ups and downs of, you know, your position and the things that you've done, because as I mentioned earlier, you're sort of living the dream. People are looking at it like, oh, you know, you can work from anywhere, you can work on this amazing project that you love to do, you're traveling. But people don't see the other side, which is the grind that goes into it. And so I'm so happy that you've touched on that, and I want to explore that a little bit more. But before we do that, one thing I want to ask all my guests this season is a question around myths. So as you know, this podcast is dedicated to Africans in the diaspora, those of us in the diaspora that want to learn more and to do more. So I'm all about myth busting and having the opportunity to speak to the experts about it and getting to the truth. So my question to you is, what is one common myth about your industry, so the travel and tourism industry in Africa, that you'd like to dispel?
Okay. So my answer is going to be twofold.
Okay.
Related to the industry, I'll answer that second. But related to traveling within Africa, I would say Africa is the future. And I think a lot of people have that misconception that Africa is the future as opposed to Africa is now, the present. So I'm not saying that to discredit what the brand represents, because it's an amazing initiative. But when I say people have the myth that Africa is the future, they think when they're traveling from their home and traveling to Africa, they're going to bring something to Africa. They're adding some value to Africa. Or I'm going to come and I'm going to spend my money and I should automatically have respect. Or I'm a creative and I'm going to go there and let them know my talents, and I'm going to, you know, create this village of hope and opportunity for Africans. And it's like, Africa is well situated. There's so many intelligent, bright creatives on the continent who knows how to uplift this continent on its own, which doesn't really need the egos mm-hmm. of foreigners. So it's always, I feel that majority of people travel to the continent as if they're going to do something to save it, whether it's through donations, whether it's through charity work, whether it's through just their presence that's going to grace, without even understanding when they travel to the continent is going to change their lives, that they're going to leave with a piece of Africa, that Africa can potentially show them a new part of their selves that they may not even know. But Africa is, I mean, it's a rich continent. It's just the leaders. You know, when you look at the leaders of Africa and what's currently going on in
Uganda
and that sort, yeah, it's just that you have leaders who came into office during independence. Majority of African countries have only been independent for less than like 60 years. So you've had that same leader in power since the transition of power from colonizers, and what worked then is not working now, especially since it's a great percentage of the continent is you. So Africa has the potential and has the ability to excel past any other continents. I just think it's the voice of the youth is not being heard, or the abilities for creatives or intelligent minded individuals to help start making that change which is needed. So I would say that's the myth coming from the diaspora. And and then
so we're talking more of like a savior complex that a lot of us come when we're trying to explore Africa. I'm totally with you.
Exactly. And it was like, I'm not sure if you saw, it was a YouTube video about this couple who moved to Ghana, and the lady was complaining.
There's a few of those though.
But when she got to the end of the video, she was like, and I've been here for my second week.
And I think,
I'm like, of course, you have to go through a bit of hustling and figuring things out and finding out what works for you.
And I think she hadn't done any research before she left, isn't it? She had just decided, I'm going to move to Africa. And that was it. She packed her bags. And then after week two, she was trying to leave. So,
So in that sense of like leaving and traveling to Africa with clearing your standards, or you know, what your expectations of the continent and what you can do for the continent. So that's going into the continent. So another myth is, so I work with all African SME owners, and now you have a new wave of young Black entrepreneurs who are offering tours to the continent. So now you have Africans on the continent looking like, you're bringing people in, yes, but you're making money off of us. So are you a new colonizer? Is it the diasporan colonizer where you're coming in and still with the mindset of, I'm going to create the best tours and the best experiences, and I'm going to show people the real Africa with out and yeah, you can partner with a tour company, but without really spending time on the ground. So I had a good friend of mine like ask me, like, what's your real intentions here? Like, are you just coming here to like profit off of this trend of people wanting to travel into the continent? Like, are you really about getting to know us? Are you really for us? Like, what is your long-term goals of not just building relationships, but sustaining relationships? And it really, you know, I was a bit offended because this is a passion project for me. And, you know, it took me some time to even, I sat on the idea of a way to Africa for almost 10 years before I launched. So I was traveling throughout for quite some time, but it hit home in the sense of, I can go to, let's say, spend a lot of time in Johannesburg, and I can meet with people, and we can you know, build and work together. But at the end of the day, if all else fails, or if there's a civil war going on, I can catch a flight out. What is your true commitment to the continent as well? And so I had to sit and talk with him to let him know where my heart was at with the work that I'm doing, and that I'm not here to come with a colonizer's mentality of this is a new opportunity and a new wave and let me max out, you know.
Yeah, you know, how do you even, I guess, overcome that? Because for many of us, we have good intentions. We want to go, we want to explore, we want to build sustainable relationships, like you said, we want to collaborate. But it doesn't mean that just because our intentions are pure doesn't mean that we don't end up possibly harming or not adding value. So how do you, as someone that in the diaspora who has gone over and doing what you're doing, ensure that you continue to add value and that you are authentic in your intentions?
Only through time in your works. Because you can even say, oh, I'm doing a community outreach project. And it can be a one-off. And you can take pictures and you can post it and you can make things look good. But what happens when the lights go off? What happens when COVID hits and you're no longer bringing people in? Are you still reaching out to your service providers, the people who you partner with, the people who you were calling, hey, sis, you know, have you reached out to them to see how things are going? Mm-hmm. It's about consistency, yeah. I guess you could say, and seeing through this trying time, who's really there? It's like when it's time to move, who can you really call on? The call that I had to take was regarding, I was able to move out of my place in Jamaica without me being there because of a good support system. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's about, I think only time can tell who's really in it for, you know, true, like, the betterment of the continent, not just like, oh, let me go and take some pretty pictures, because let's be honest, 2019, there were so many people who were like, I'm a travel agent, I'm putting together a group, who's going to travel? I've seen people who put together tours to countries in Africa and they've never traveled there themselves, you know? So yeah, I think it's about time and staying consistent with building these relationships.
Yeah, that's a good point. Time will tell, yeah. I definitely agree. Amazing. So let's talk more about A Way to Africa itself. So for those who are listening, you know, what is actually the problem that you're solving with your company? Because as you said, you know, there are a few other people or even long-standing businesses and corporations, in fact, that that are managing tours in Africa, you know, the safaris and the pyramids that we have seen for so long. So what problem are you actually solving with A Way to Africa that is distinct in the industry?
That's a good question. So I think the toughest thing a person can do in your lifetime is to change the mind of someone or to change the way someone views something. That is, you know, to me, I think that's one of the most difficult things that you can set out to do. And with A Way to Africa, I know that we are changing the views and the perceptions that those in the diaspora have of not only the continent of Africa, but those living on the continent, and then vice versa. Because people think like, oh, you know, those in the diaspora or the West think a certain way about Africans, but Africans feel a certain way about those in the diaspora also. I've met friends and they're like, oh, you were born in New York. I thought you were going to be loud and ghetto because we watch is like Love and Hip Hop. Yeah. And that's the representation that we see of Black people who were born in the States. Like, when you really think about it, what representation do we have of one another other than what's in the news, you know? And when I was thinking to launch A Way to Africa, there wasn't any Facebook, there wasn't Instagram. Right now it became really trendy to start going and traveling throughout Africa. But beforehand, it wasn't. So to have someone call you like, hi, I'm thinking of traveling to this country, but I don't know, is it safe? Am I going to be welcome? you know, or even taking it a bit further where we're now introducing opportunities for people to invest in property and different, businesses on the continent, to change the way someone views a place and people, I think is, it's a tricky, it's something that it definitely takes time to plan out every detail of the introduction. The introduction, the first impression is the lasting impression. So how are the people who are traveling with us introduced to the continent? What are they viewing? What are the accommodations that they're seeing? What interaction are they having with people from that country when they travel? What lasting impressions and memories are you creating for the travelers? And understanding that someone can leave the continent and say, I had such a bad experience with you, I'm never going back to the continent again. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So I really think that is the problem that we're solving, is really changing the perception of how diasporans view that the continent as well as Africans, and also for Africans on the continent who we have relationships with, and we're saying, look, we're bringing this group in, can we arrange a dinner with maybe, it's just like three of you guys, can you come and join our tour and just like, talk to them, like vibe with them, can see that those yes, that cultural exchange, it's so important. And I think I underestimated the power of the company and what we had planned or what God had planned for us. For me, it just was like, oh my gosh, when I first studied abroad in South Africa and I went back, I'm like, it's insanely, amazingly sick. It's fabulous out there. So I was more passionate about just like, killing the, just taking a perception that was put out there from CNN, BBC, all these news stations that always depicted Africa in a negative light, to say, give it a try, and to now understand that people are walking away like, listen, we're thinking about moving here.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Firstly, because, I think more so in terms of the mind shift element, is even more critical for the African continent and for Black people globally in general, because like you said, we have been fed so much negativity about each other, about the continent for so long. It's going to take a lot, even more, to undo all of that. I definitely understand the problem that you're solving, attempting to solve. And like you said, it just takes steps. It's huge, but it's one day at a time. So that's what I wanted to kind of explore, because you keep mentioning that, you had the idea for A Way to Africa some time ago, even before, our whole, what I would say, like Wakanda sort of, times, or even the year of return and social media in general, which has played a huge part in the popularity of African cultures and traveling in Africa. So my question to you is then, what was your motivation back then? Because this wasn't something that was trendy back then. And then the second part of my question is, how you're talking about changing people's minds and shifting that mindset, what changes have you seen since the beginning, from the beginning till now? Was there resistance at the beginning, and are you seeing people more receptive? Is it getting more popular? What kind of changes are you seeing now?
Okay, so to answer your first question regarding the motivation, I would say the motivation stems from the change that I felt once visiting the continent. Because when I went, I honestly had preconceived notions. My first time to the continent was 2006 when I studied abroad. So I was like, you know, I'm somewhat ashamed to say, you know, what I was expecting when I was to get to the continent. So traveling to South Africa, you know, South Africa is like entrance or entry or the gateway to the continent. It's like Africa 101. So it's so easy to navigate. And where we stayed as students, I lived a better life in South Africa than I was living in the States. But it wasn't just like, okay, a posh flat or whatever. It was a connection that was made with South Africans where for the first time, like people were like, welcome home, CC, like you're home now. When it was time to leave, I stood on the balcony and I cried my eyes out because I was like, I don't know when I'm going to return. I don't know the next time, but it's something that I feel inside of me that is going to pull me back. It's opened up a light, you know, it's opened up a flame, and that's just it. So from that fire that started inside of me, I just started going around and telling people just word of mouth. Not trying to even say, oh, travel with me, but just passionately saying, like, you have to give it a try. Mm-hmm. You have to see what this continent has to offer. And I spoke to specific people who I knew were open-minded or who already had somewhat of an interest in traveling to the continent, but they weren't sure. And once they started taking me up on my offer and traveling, I'm like, okay, people will actually listen to me if they listen or believe my story enough. Now to conclude it, or the next step is to create a segue or a way for them to get to Africa. And that's what the name A Way to Africa came up with. I was like, I would love to find a way to bring people to Africa or for people who want to get away and go away to Africa. So I really would say the motivation during those times before anyone else was doing it was by me traveling myself. And so and feeling the change that visiting the continent made and just in my spirit alone. So, and then seeing other people equally passionate about traveling to the continent as well. Even when for 10 years I told you I sat on the idea that what really motivated me to push and even start the website, I met this young lady, we were both in our hair done from the same stylist, and I was telling her, she was talking about, she's very militant, so we were talking about like things you can do in Africa versus the States, and I'm like, yeah, I have this idea I want to do it. She was like, if you start your company, I'll be the first client. Wow. And I'm like, really? She's like, yes. And she would text me like every month, like, is your website up? Is your website up?
I see as well.
She was the first person to sign up for it. Wow. So she, her name is Naya Norfis. Sweetest young lady. So she was my motivation to say that if you build it, people will show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you'd be amazed the power that, you know, one person can do and how we're all, you know, angels on earth moving in a certain direction. And in a sense of, if there's a message you're supposed to give to someone that can help them on their path, you should motivate them to do it. She's motivating me to open up a business so she can spend her money, but she knew that she was making an investment. Because of the way I was like, look, sis, the way what I experienced, and she's like, do it, open it, and I'm there. So that was, I would say, the two main motivations for getting things off the ground with the way to Africa. And then the change that I've seen is just when people are departing and going back to the continent, you can just see the relationships that are built with the travelers on a trip. And then you can see a change within them, even how they didn't know that they would be accepted the way they would when traveling into the continent. So to walk away and then I see, like, I'm talking to the clients, you know, maybe a year after the trip, and they're saying how they're still in contact with people that they've met here in the continent, or they're working and they're collabing to do certain things together, or, you know, a friendship or something was built. That's what I actually see. It's a longevity of relationships that are built. Yeah, and you can see it, and then you know how you can see when you, like, you're looking in someone's eye, but you're looking in their third eye, and you can see yeah. in someone after an enlightening experience. Yeah. So I would say that's it. You can see they have more clarity of what the continent has to offer.
It must be an amazing feeling to know that you have been the catalyst for that change and that exploration in an individual.
Yes, a blessing. It's definitely a blessing.
Yeah. Do you generally have a mixture of clients? So, or is it mostly from the states that people are exploring? What is the makeup of your demographic?
So I would say that it's majority of people traveling from the states. But right now we're restructuring, rebuilding our business model so that it is an international brand.
Got it.
So in the sense of, yes, we're pro-Black, and we especially want to get, you know, Black people from the diaspora over to the continent. But we want to get actually creative minds, like people who are interested, who just have a good heart with traveling. So we've had some clients from Europe, and, you know, we've also had clients from the continent traveling on some of our tours to go to other African countries.
Yeah.
I think too, while the Black travel industry represents, it was in 2019, I think it was $63 billion alone. For me, it's not just, I'm not moved just by numbers alone. I know for investors' point of view, they want to see numbers, but for us, I want to see, and I want to cover areas that make sense as well. So I think we are moving forward, looking to bring a diverse group, because another thing is Africa has been sold as one big safari for so long.
Yeah.
So majority of times I'll sometimes meet someone from Europe, like, yeah, I've traveled to like three countries, and it's like, okay, where did you go? South Africa, like Zambia and Zimbabwe, or Zambia and Botswana. Really? Which cities did you go to? No, we only went on safaris. I'm like, so did you come into contact with any people?
Just animals.
So dispelling that, you know, that myth that Africa is a big jungle and one big safari is a mission, not just to change the perception of those in the diaspora, but even Europeans, to say, not even on like poverty porn or anything like that, but show them the greatness. Well, they already know how amazing Africa is. They just choose to, you know, tell a different story. I just really want to go against the grain of packaging and selling Africa as one big safari.
Amazing. And speaking of looking forward, of course, as I mentioned in the introduction of this conversation, of course, we can't have a conversation about travel now without talking about the pandemic that we're currently living in. So you sound incredibly optimistic. You know, you talk about restructuring, you talk about expanding your clientele. Has the pandemic, how has the pandemic, I should ask, impacted your business and I guess the appetite for travel in Africa from your perspective?
Well, we know that we will never go back to the normality or what we saw as normal again. is similar to traveling post 9/11,
right.
Traveling out or in states where things are after the bombing in Heathrow. You know, it, things will never be the same. You will just have to adjust and travel while the, you know, I'm not going to say during the pandemic because vaccinations are rolling out and things like that, but we're just going to have to place policies and protocols in place so people feel safer and more secure with traveling again. But yes, travel is one of the many industries that came to a complete halt.
Yeah.
So going from having a tour plan for every month where before, right before COVID, when COVID hit, I just finished our first tour. So, and then I was scheduled to go to like Madagascar for educational, South Africa for like a Jeep challenge, Morocco for our next tour, all of that just like out the window.
Wow.
Just like everyone else's plans, just like completely placed on hold. It's going to take some time for industries to revitalize, for people to start working again, but most importantly, people to feel safe with traveling. That, so people are sitting idle waiting to travel. So it's honestly going to, we're going to see inflation.
Yes.
And of those who are looking to travel, and not just those who are looking to travel, now people are like, oh, well, it's messed up over here in America with what's going on in politics. Oh, we want to get to Africa. People are looking for alternatives, not just for saying, I want to have to travel, but I want to go to Africa. Not only like I want to visit Africa, but what are the options of us moving there now? You know, you're starting to see families considering to move, or what are the investment opportunities? Now you have the Africa Free Trade Agreement, which, you know, was pushed for, we move forward with the beginning of this year, and people are pumping investments into the continent. So people are saying, what is it that Africa has to offer? We want a piece of that. Mm-hmm. So the appetite for exploring the continent for leisure and business, I think it's going, we're going to see a boom.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm just appreciative of the time to have the ability to sit back and restructure and then spend time myself. You know, it's the first time not flying in so long, and it can be a bit unhealthy flying 15-hour flights, getting off, jumping on a 4-hour flight. So I'm appreciative for this time to just do something different with the company. We're rolling out a new website with the new campaign within the next couple of months. So I'm really excited about that. And then we're going to enter into our first phase of investment. So
amazing.
Yeah, just really preparing. But, you know, when you have a year of, you have bookings and you have a year that goes completely silent, you have to show the value in your company considering this year of silence. So, I have faith in the travel industry because I just know the habits of people.
I totally agree. And I love what you said. You know, people are literally itching to travel. So it's only a matter of time when, you know, I guess vaccines are rolled out and things get back to a new normal, that we are going to see this boom, and definitely all eyes on Africa because of the trajectory of things and things are happening. So just to conclude our conversation, of course, on a positive note, you know, for anyone listening who is now, you know, itching to travel, and I know many of us are, you know, when it's safe and when available to do so, talk me through the steps that one can take to book an experience with Away to Africa.
Okay, it's very
and also,
simple.
What countries are you currently live in and actually do these experiences in? I don't think we've mentioned.
So we are currently servicing Ghana, Benin, Togo, Morocco, Kenya, Tanzania, Ethiopia, South Africa, Namibia, Madagascar, Nigeria,
wow.
Senegal, I know Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Botswana was supposed to be introduced last year, so we'll roll it out this year. Eswatini as well. So
wow, when I looked on your website, it wasn't as many countries, so I guess you've updated it now.
It depends when you looked at the website, but definitely all of those countries are on there. When you scroll down, you can see the actual tours. But again, we are going to restructure the website a bit, but the countries are listed there now. Okay. With all of the tours and the dates as well. So you can go, if you're looking to book a tour, you go to away2africa, awaytoafrica.com. And we have the tours that are listed there. So when you click on view itinerary for whichever country you're interested in, then the itinerary will pop up. You scroll to the bottom, you see inclusions, exclusions, as well as pricing for shared and single occupancy. And then there's a button that says secure your seat or secure your spot. And then from there, we'll have a representative contact you and set up your payment plan if you're going to do a payment plan, and assist you with booking flights. And that's it. We take care of everything from A to Z once you arrive into the country to when it's time for you to depart. Everything is taken care of. So it's very simple. Or, you know, you can send an email to info@awaytoafrica.com.
Incredible. Amazing. That sounds so good. Like, so I guess I'll leave everyone who is interested to go and explore the website, also look at terms and conditions, what you do in regards to safety, et cetera, et cetera. I know that's probably what people are thinking, but everything is on there. And of course, I know Tiffany, you'll be available, or someone from your team would be available to talk potential clients through that too. And I know you mentioned you're looking to raise some money in the next year or so. What other things do you have planned for the business?
Definitely pivoting more towards providing investment opportunities on the continent, you know, purchasing land, farming opportunities. Yeah, just more of a long-term, looking forward to more business tours as well. Just bringing people to travel throughout to see the value of investing in a continent. That's definitely something that we're going to focus on in the future.
Amazing. And that definitely follows your, you know, sustainable, the idea of sustainable connections and relationships beyond, you know, that one-time trip. So yeah, that is incredible. Thank you so much, Tiffany. We'll leave it there. I guess if you mentioned your contact, so it's info@awaytoafrica.com. And correct. Also socials is Away to Africa as well. Is that right?
Correct.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Tiffany, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. Did you know that insurance penetration in Africa is less than 3%? Next week, I'll be speaking to an individual behind an exciting startup providing affordable health insurance in East Africa. See you then.